character builds. Everyone has them or wants them. We decided to do something unique where we added rules imposed on a character. Our goal is to provide fun builds, which may or may not be novel, to fill an adventuring party niche. We call the segment Twisted Builds. Welcome to Dueling GMs. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Anthony.
This is a show for GMs and players.
One about designs and details.
To build a better role-playing community. Let's get into the general character building rules and then talk about our character.
Great. So we set up a list of 10 rules and we're going to always abide by them. Rule number one, establish a theme, declare a concept, and impose a twist.
Rule number two, all characters are level 10 using point buy.
Rule number three, all races and classes are acceptable without explanation.
Rule number four, all Tasha's optional rules can be used.
Rule number five, no homebrew unless it's semi-official on D&D Beyond.
Rule number six, multiclassing is allowed, but must follow requirements for ability scores.
Rule number seven, no magic items unless the class somehow grants them. Any mundane items are allowed.
Rule number eight, all subclasses can only ever be used up to a total of 10 levels. We want to showcase different builds this way.
Rule number nine, established settings will be within the world we've been creating in our other workshops. We'll continue adding things to the world in future episodes.
And rule number 10, these builds are purely for fun and quirky concepts. They may be somewhat optimized, but no guarantees. All right, so today's build is brought to you by Mobility.
And the letter M.
Yeah. Why don't I kick things off for a little bit here? So with this build, I know there's probably even more optimized and you know, with certain, flight or monk related step of the wind stuff, but I want a different approach. Slightly, I don't know if basic's the right word or not, but a little bit more down to earth in one aspect. So I went Rogue 2 and Wizard 8 for this build. And the race is one from the Ravnica, which is the Simic hybrid. So slightly different there.
It's a fun one, yeah.
Yeah. So let me kind of, I don't have much in terms of like inventory or actions, but you can kind of fill it in with either cantrips or, you know, rapier or anything that, you know, utilizes dexterity, range weapons, etc. But let me just go through the stats real quick, starting off here. Strength, wisdom, and charisma, -1. So this is kind of a point by build. And then dex and intelligence are at a +3, and constitution is a +2. So not fantastic, but I needed the dexterity for the multi-class requirement that I don't know if we ever specified, but that I at least put on myself as a requirement. What did I do? So in terms of walking speed, it started out with 30 feet at level 4 for the, or fourth level in Wizard. I went with the mobility feat. And the other one was the Fae Touched. And I'll get into some of these things in a little bit. Skills, nothing too strenuous here to kind of emphasize in a mobility build, but I do have proficiency in acrobatics and athletics for things such as, you know, just moving around. Sure. And also expertise in stealth, which is always a plus. You know, when it comes to mobility, even if it's at half speed, it'll be good to fly through, so to speak, with that kind of stealth.
Right.
So with the mobility feat, it does avoid, you know, attacks of opportunity if you make an attack, but I took it mostly for that extra +10 walking speed. So right now with, you know, movement, we got 40 feet plus cunning actions from the rogue. Which allows, you know, double there for bonus and, Now we can even say 444 for the action. Now, the reason I went wizard is for a couple things. We'll start with spells. You know, with the Fae Touched, that got me access to Misty Step, which is a nice, you know, small teleportation if I'm ever grappled or, you know, needing to get from, you know, low point to high point or vice versa, I would have you. The other things, I guess, to note, third level spells, I went with, you know, the main takeaways here, fly. So if I needed to move around, that's a 60 feet speed, flying speed, unabated there, concentration for 10 minutes. Haste as an alternative, another concentration, but, you know, gives you an extra action to potentially dash. So that's, again, another 40 or so. And then a couple of teleportation stuff. We got Thunderstep at level 3, Dimension Door at level 4. And I also went with Polymorph in case I wanted to go with, you know, some sort of creature that could, you know, move faster anyway. So all good things there. Those are kind of the honorable mentions of spells. The reason I went with wizard though was I actually went with the transmutation wizard. Main reason there is the transmuter stone, which at sixth level you can increase your speed of 10 more feet while the creature is unencumbered. So now we're looking at 50 feet speed. So between walking, bonus action dashing, main action dashing, and potentially haste dash, you're looking at somewhere between 150 and 200 feet solid movement until haste wears off.
Okay.
So perks there. The reason I went with, so going back to the Simic hybrid, you get what's known as animal enhancements. So the two that I chose, one was called Nimble Climber and the other is Underwater Adaptation. Climber, what that does is it basically gives you a climbing speed equal to your walking speed. And then Underwater Adaptation, in addition to breathing air and water, you also get a swim speed equal to your walking speed.
Okay.
So independent of whether you need to climb up walls, go through water, just run around, you're looking at a nice steady 150 to 200 feet per round.
Right.
You know, with haste. So I thought that was kind of cool. And then if I ever needed to fly, instead of hasting, I have that, you know, fly speed, you know, and again, still using the dash, has a few options there. So I thought that was kind of helpful. I, you know, definitely considered, you know, monks, or just straight rogues for different aspects. But I went this way because of the spell options that kind of that the wizard has. Right. And then this wizard in particular, I think the Bladesinger also gives you an extra 10 feet of movement. But I went with this one. I thought it was kind of useful for just, you know, having that, you know, transmutation as kind of the main focus there. And I'm not sure how much Bladesinger I've already used in some other builds or plan to use in other builds. So it was kind of I want to hold off on that. But I thought, you know, with 50 feet and then, you know, doing all this, you know, I thought that was pretty useful. I probably could have adjusted, you know, I didn't need that high dexterity. I probably could have bumped my intelligence up to a +4 had I, you know, thought about that aspect a little bit more. But I was like, well, let's just, you know, get that multi-class requirement in, you know, have that speed. And, you know, the +3 does help with initiative, I guess. So, sure. You know, a little bit there. But I wasn't really counting that. I just sort of was putting those as kind of not dumb stats, but just dumb max stats, I guess.
Right.
As weird as that sounds, because those spells, I mean, outside of Thunderstep, actually impacting, you know, an enemy there, you know, Haste, Dimension Door, those are ones that are for myself, Fly. So all those could, you know, help with just movement. Sure. And that was pretty much it. Kind of weird, but it was in my mind, I thought it was kind of cool to just I see this character kind of like, you know, running into water and then up a rock cliff, and it's the same speed as they right. just sort of traverse, and it's just this unstoppable speed demon, so to speak. Whereas I feel like other options, maybe not the Simic hybrid, you know, kind of has that stopgap there.
Now you toyed with for a while a different enhancement. Is there a reason why you didn't end up taking that one?
Which enhancement was that?
The one that allowed you to glide.
I went with this one because with the gliding, I'd have to then choose to give up the climbing or the swimming. And though teleportation is great with the gliding aspect, you know, if I just dimension doored straight up in the air, you know, that would definitely get some distance. I didn't want that to be I didn't want it to be just then restricted to a singular spell dimension door. You know, I kind of wanted that, again, that level of consistency that even if I don't use any spells, I can still, you know, move bonus dash, action dash.
I mean, technically you climb a tree, jump off the tree and you can glide again, or, you know, off the top of a tower, or I have had a character that's at the top of a ship's mast when it blew up and he went flying across the water. Right. So, I was just curious, cause I know we actually made these builds a while ago, and now, I guess we're dating the recording here. The Hadozi has just come out with Spelljammer. And so people are having that conversation of whether they're going to end up having to retcon in some way are doing errata for their gliding ability, and the Simic hybrid has a similar thing. It's just much more you know, dumbed down. It's only 2 feet instead of 5 feet or something for every 1 foot that you fall. But yeah, you had come up with that a few months ago, and we're asking questions about it, so I was surprised to see that didn't make the final cut.
Yeah I was curious about it, but then I was like, I like the idea of just, you know, though you can climb if there's something to climb, you know, like
right.
if, but I wanted it to be a little bit more independent. To me, as weird as it sounds, climbing something might be more situational than, you know, if you're in a plane or the open seas or whatever that might be, like this can handle all that.
Right. Sure.
And, you know, just running off a ship into water and back up a ship, you know, that's walking, swimming, and climbing. And
right.
now,
and not slowing down at all for it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that was kind of the route there. Though I definitely, like you said, I definitely toyed with it. But I was like, well, if I need to go up, you know, super high, there's at least dimension door. You know, if I need to use it twice, like again, it's kind of limited, but it's, you know, for those situations, if that's needed, I could, you know, I could dimension door, you know, 500 feet up to the side of the building and then just hold on to it, because then I can start climbing 150 feet after that, you know?
Right.
You know, and then if need be, feather fall, et cetera. But yeah, I guess in terms of gliding, it's not as useful there, but,
that makes sense. That's a good explanation. Probably more, widespread use instead of more broken but less useful.
People talk about, you know, broken speeds and just, you know, it's like, how far can I get, you know, in 10 minutes? Well, what about longer, you know, like I guess with dashing and exhaustion there's rules for that in terms of, you know, travel speeds, etc., but this was just something that to me it seemed consistent but also still very fast,
right?
And you know, just throwing out an attack and, you know, with mobility and just running past them, you still get an extra, you know, 100 feet there. I thought that would be good. I think that's pretty much the gist of that build. Again, I didn't set up anything for, you know, my AC is currently at a 13. you know, you can use mage armor to up that. You can boost intelligence a little bit better, but I honestly didn't contribute stats outside of just the multi-class requirement.
This is strictly you've got a level, a couple levels in rogue, so you're proficient in light armor. At least you can at least throw on some leather or something. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, light armor. I think that might be what's on, but no, I guess not with the plus three dex.
Yeah,
it's just that. So yeah, I mean it can go up a little bit. One of those two options would definitely work, but that wasn't the focus. I'm like, oh, what if this was just a courier? You know, having a build that maybe wasn't a fighter and just pacifist, or you know, eventually maybe pick up the medic feat and then you become a battle medic, just running from person to person. Just different options there. So
yeah, that's fun.
What about you, good sir?
Well, you almost nailed some of my stuff right off the dot when you said I could have gone this route.
Okay. What do we got?
Because I do have a monk.
All right.
Which is weird, as much as if anybody has seen my video on YouTube dogging on how bad the monks are, at least for these builds, I seem to like to go six levels of monk. But I think it's because you get your fifth level second attack, it's not as bad as just a single attack. You also at fifth level get stunning strike. And for my money, stunning strike, really, if you can get it to consistently connect, it's probably one of the best single attack, single target features in the game. And then just the sixth level feature for monks seem to all be lots of fun. Some of them are really, really useful. Some of them are really powerful. The fear build that I made that just for free as an action, as many times as you want during the day, just scare everybody that you can see. Cool. Done. This one, I went with the drunken monk because I thought I'm going with a monk that is an Arakocra. And so he's flying, and I'll tell you exactly how fast his fly speed gets up to here in a second. But I thought, how amazing would it be if I had a drunken aviator? So I went drunken monk. And so, yeah, his sixth level thing is tipsy sway. So when you're prone, you can stand up by spending 5 feet of movement rather than half your speed, which is kind of nice for somebody who really does not want to be on the ground ever at all. Mm-hmm. To get immediately back up and in the air. But more importantly, when a creature misses you with a melee attack roll, you can spend one key point as a reaction to cause that attack to hit one creature of your choice other than the attacker that you can see within 5 feet. And again, like I don't know that I've ever played a drunken monk. The concept of the drunken monk is kind of fun. I almost dipped into this mostly because I wanted the monk features and didn't really care. And so because we have the rule set that, you know, no more than 10 levels of any subclass, I was like, which subclass do I not probably, I really should have gone with the way of the four elements. That's probably the better bet there. The worthless one. But I read this and I was like, oh, this kind of works. If I'm flying around and I'm like doing barrel rolls, trying to keep from getting hit, somebody misses me, it says I can spend a key point and a reaction, and that attack, they don't have to make an attack roll again. They just automatically hit a different creature. And now, I had to read that a couple times, but to cause that attack to hit one creature of your choice.
Is it within 5 feet of you or 5 feet of them?
That you can see within 5 feet. So it's got to be visible range for me, but 5 feet next to them. So it has to be adjacent. But I'm picturing, you know, the big two-headed Etten that misses and punches the goblin nearby and just outright kills him, you know, because he missed you. You know, those types of things where like you have the big beefy guy that's just slaughtering his own minions just because they missed you.
I'm picturing like, you know, a goblin with their crossbow trying to like aim, and then you make a weird drunken nosedive and it like turns and shoots, and it's like, oh, I just shot my friend.
He was my friend.
Yeah.
I'll be burying him later. Yeah. So I thought that was a fun little thing. I was like, okay, we'll go six on this.
Nice.
So yeah, it's six levels of monk, which will get us, I'll get to the speed here in a second, but that gets us a few fun things. The other thing for the drunken aspect also helped in terms of movement based stuff. Whenever you use Flurry of Blows, you gain the benefit of the disengage action. So you don't have to spend anything to disengage, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And your walking speed increases by 10 feet until the end of the current turn. So if you use Flurry of Blows, then you get even faster and you free disengage. Mm-hmm. So again, that was another thing. I was like, okay, if you're building a character like what I'm trying to come up with, there really isn't a better option. So I started doing it as a joke. And then as I was reading the features, I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Nice.
So that's the monk side. That's six levels. And then I went four levels of cleric. And this is something I think you and I have joked about since we saw the Peace Domain come out. You have a character that has a level or two of Peace Domain cleric, and you use that Emboldening Bond a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And that's probably busted enough. But the thing that we joked about when it first came out and haven't actually put into use yet was their Channel Divinity. Mm-hmm. As an action, you can move up to your speed without provoking opportunity attacks. And when you move within 5 feet of any other creature during this action, you can restore 2d6 plus 3 hit points to that creature. And it does have the caveat, you can't bounce around and heal them more than once. So you use your action, not your move and not your bonus action, but you have to use your action to move up to your total speed. So mm-hmm. my plan for this character was, how can I get to as many allies as possible? Can I get to everybody scattered out all over the battlefield and heal them all in a single Channel Divinity? And the answer is probably because I'm flying. When we built these characters, we didn't have to say this, but now at this point with Monsters of the Multiverse out, this is the legacy era Kokra. So has a flying speed of 50.
Okay.
I think the newer iteration is dumbed down to 30, which probably is honestly better. The DM in me says that's better, but we're going with the legacy version because we're just making broken builds right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, my fly speed is 50, but I've gotten enough things along the way with the mobile feet and obviously the monk itself that mm-hmm. my base walking speed is a 50 right now.
Nice.
Which means my flying speed is 75.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So when I do the Channel Divinity, I've got 75 feet of move that as long as I can basically boop somebody on the nose, they're going to recover 2d6 plus 3 mm-hmm. within 75 feet. And I can kind of zigzag as much as I want. And with the flight, even though I'd move without provoking opportunity, I thought the flight would be a much better way to go literally as the crow flies. Because what it doesn't say is that you can move through enemies. So you're still going to have to move around enemies if you're running. But if you're flying, mm-hmm. you just go above them. Just go in straight line. That was kind of the plan with all of this was how can I go around and just boop allies on the nose while they're fighting and basically not take any damage from anybody because they keep missing me and hitting their friends. Mm-hmm. If I actually needed to, you know, get around to doing anything else in combat, it's a lot of cleric-y types of things. I can keep bless up, I can do healing word, and I can get to anybody, you know, in an instant, essentially. Mm-hmm. I took Shield of Faith, Aid. It was a lot of just the protection abjuration based spells for the cleric side of things. But I thought, how else can I avoid getting hit? Well, if I am flying, I don't have to necessarily be anywhere near anybody, but I didn't do the Kensei monk. And so it's still a little bit iffy on some of the rulings as to how much of like the longbow or shortbow would actually be able to apply to things like your flurry of blows and stuff like that. The Kensei allows you to use that in a different way. But since I went to Drunken Monk, I was like, okay, what do I... Oh, okay. I have an extra feat. I need to get my dex up to a plus four. So I took Weapon Master, something that I absolutely loathe and I think is a really terrible terrible feat compared to a lot of the other ones. But it upped my dex by one. And it allowed me to take the whip and use that as my dedicated martial arts weapon. So now I've got a whip that's doing a D6 plus four damage instead of it only being a D4 or something like that, because it's now my, you know, my martial arts dedicated weapon and has a 10-foot reach. So I can just stay 10 feet above the entire combat and just keep cracking the whip on people's heads anytime that I actually have a free action, and they can't really do anything about it.
I like that.
And it works because it's a melee attack. It still works for a lot more of the other monk features. So yeah, if I need to, I can use a flurry of blows, but I've also got plenty of other things that I could use those key points for, including just spending the key points to make people hit themselves.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That, I mean, that was basically the idea. And even the idea of being able to like crack the whip so hard in somebody's face that it stuns them using the stunning strike, and they're just kind of what just happened? And you do just also drunkenly, you know, slaloming across the battlefield while it happens. It's just, it seemed like a very fun character to play.
Yeah, and you have Step of the Wind.
Right. Yeah, so I could move very, very quickly if I really wanted to. I could do my movement. So technically, if I use my Channel Divinity, I would only be able to heal for that 75 feet.
Right.
But I could have that 75 feet of movement that I'm healing. I could do Step of the Wind for the bonus action move. And then I have my normal move on top of that. So yeah, there's quite a bit of, let's see, what is that? 225 feet in a round.
Okay. Yeah,
that's 75. So, yeah, moving quite a bit. Good. And I don't know that I would ever need it, but if I needed it, I've got it.
Nice.
And just with the added benefit of mobile, if I happen to be in melee without the whip, then a melee attack against creature, and suddenly I'm not provoking opportunity attacks from that either. So again, anything really to just, if I get on the ground, need to make an attack, the idea would be just to get right back up in the air as quickly as possible and get away from everybody.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun. But that was the really quick and dirty. Both of these, I think, because we weren't focused on how do we make them combat viable so much as how do we make use of this. And we intentionally left that mobility thing nebulous so we could interpret it different ways. So you went with the route of how can I be as mobile as possible in every scenario and every terrain. And I was trying to come up with ways that I could always stay in the air and always avoid getting hit, and then being able to heal as much as possible because of the amount of, you know, terrain I could cover and stuff like that. So both of them fell under that category of mobility pretty well.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way that you kind of, I mean, I'm surprised you found use for that feat, to be honest. That's
right.
that's a feat in and of itself.
Yeah, we should have also at some point in our list said that, you know, by the time we're done with this project, that all feats seem to be used at least once.
maybe we'll
pass.
Figure out. Yeah. Nice. I like it. So yeah, I mean, with Step of the Wind, you're doing kind of not necessarily consistent, but still pretty good, at least within combat, maybe a little bit more, because you get how many key points at this level? Like, do you get more?
I think it's up to your level.
I wasn't sure if it was more than that, but like twice.
That seems a little high. Six. Yeah, okay. It's up to your level.
Okay.
But it's per short rest, so.
Yeah, so pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and the emboldening bond, as you know, with your character, you don't even have to have a whole lot of. I have four uses. I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, equal to your proficiency bonus, so it has nothing to do with your cleric level. There.
Yeah.
I didn't give stats on this, so I guess that's maybe the last thing. He's negative one strength, plus four dex, plus one con, plus zero intelligence, plus three wisdom, and plus zero charisma, and 63 hit points.
Okay.
So, not great, but armor class 17, I don't remember what I gave him. He's got, it's because he's a monk. Yeah, so he's got some wisdom and some dex, and that's how he's got his armor class.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think you can fly with medium armor,
right?
Or medium plus armor, but no, that's awesome. Yeah, that's different builds, but we got some consistent good amount of movement though for the most part. So
right,
yeah. I like it.
Well, let's do this because we're sitting at 30 minutes, and this is by far our shortest. Build. And I know there's one conversation that we've been having on the side and talking about, do we do a whole separate episode for it? Or we do, so let's do this. We've talked about fun little, if you could do like a duo combo of two different spellcasters, both casting a spell in a field. The combo that comes to your mind right now would be what?
I mean, off the top of my head, I would say go with Wall of Force and Sickening Radiance.
Okay. So explain to people who don't immediately catch what you're getting here.
Sure. I mean, Sickening Radiance, I think, is a warlock and wizard, maybe bard spell. And Wall of Force is wizard and magical secrets bard. And so Sickening Radiance basically is a field of gets some exhausted every time they fail and are within the area of the spell. So if you don't know, the exhaustion aspect, you get, I think, what, three, and then you start snowballing. And if you get to
level one, disadvantage on ability checks.
Yep.
Level two, you have half speed, which mm-hmm. even that may potentially be problematic in Sickening Radiance, depending on what else is going on, because it's a 30-foot radius sphere. So you got to get out of it, and you're moving at half speed at that point. Level three, you get disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws, and that's where the wombo combo really kind of sets in. Because if you start failing on that and you're still in the radiance, you're basically not getting out.
Right.
Level four, your hit point is cut in half. Your maximum is cut in half. At level five, your speed is reduced to zero. And at level six, you die. So it seriously is probably the fastest way to actually kill somebody. The problem is there are very few ways to give something levels of exhaustion.
Yes. And it is a, correct me if I'm wrong, a 10-minute...
10-minute duration with concentration.
Duration. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so you can't concentrate on both things, but the other one is Wall of Force, where you can essentially put them in a nice little dome, so to speak, inside the Sickening Radiance. So there's some limitations on leaving it, casting spells through it. I think rules as defined by
force. So in this instance, how would you set it up? Dome, sphere, panels.
I would do the Sigma Radiance first, and then I would do a dome.
Okay. So a dome, radius up to 10 feet. Last for duration. Nothing can physically pass through the walls. The wall itself is immune to all damage and can't be dispelled by dispel magic. So basically the only thing that will take it down is a disintegrate spell.
Yeah. And in terms of, I think I'm pretty sure this is at least errata or maybe just tweets. But you know, things like windows and seeing through still prevents spells to be cast through, because they technically block total coverage, but you could still see through it.
Yeah, so this one, you don't necessarily put panels or windows. It's just invisible. But the fact that you can see through it does not allow you to actually do anything beyond.
Yeah, so casting spells on the other side of it is impossible. So things, I think, dimension door, is that a self or is that a...
Well, the other thing that's mentioned in here is the wall extends into the ethereal plane, blocking ethereal travel through the wall. So depending on how specifically you are moving, things potentially like Misty Step may not even allow you to get out.
Or blink. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, that combination there, or we've talked about this in I think, a control build in the past, but still the Signet Radiance, but a different way of keeping them there is the push and pull with some of the Eldritch Blast invocations for the Warlock. So as they're trying to head one direction, you pull them back in. If they're heading another, you push them back in.
And that's a way to potentially even make it worse for them is when they move into the spells area for the first time on a turn, or they start their turn there. So you potentially can get them twice on a single round by... you having them start there, they run out, and then on your turn, you just yank them back in, or they start out of it, you push them in, and then they start their turn in there.
Right.
Because what we didn't mention on that was that it's 4d10 radiant damage if they fail a constitution save.
Yeah, that's true. And then again, I think
those saves eventually with the exhaustion will be a disadvantage.
Yeah. And then Wall of Force, I think, is also 10 minutes. So. If they don't, you know, if this is just a big beefy champion, non-teleporting, you know, caster, it's tricky because, well, it's going to be their end, right? In order, you know, 10 minutes worth of rolls, you're looking at what, 10 a minute, 100 rolls, chance of failing 6 of them.
Pretty
high.
The fact that they'll even get to 100 rolls is probably
right. And as soon as, like I said, exhaustion level 3, then it's a disadvantage for the rest of them. So it's just, that's the slippery slope aspect right there. So if you can keep them in there for 3 rounds, or you know, 3 times, and they fail, then the rest is probably pretty fast. But that's the one that comes to my mind. So you know, definitely doable with either 2 wizards or a wizard and you know, bard, or I guess 2 bards with magical secrets. I don't know who else, you know, has access to both of those, but either way, you need 2 casters because they both require concentration.
Right.
But that's the first thing that came to my head. What do you got?
All right. So my big plan revolves around a 5th level spell and a 1st level spell.
Okay. What do you got?
The 5th level spell is Animate Objects, which is a fun one anyway. And a lot of people look at it and they immediately gravitate toward the huge, animate a huge object, which the likelihood of having a huge object, you know, in range that you can animate is kind of unlikely anyway. But really, to get the biggest bang for your buck, you go small, you go tiny, and you have a whole bunch of these objects that are flying around. They have flying speed of 30. They can hover. Their movement speed in general is 30. And they have, you know, basic hit points, not that big of a deal, but they nickel and dime people to death. And especially because they act as a construct, so they're a creature. If you play with flanking rules, they can just start surrounding and flanking everything. So on its own, that spell is a fantastic spell. But what I discovered on a recent reading of the spell is that animated objects have blind sight with a radius of 30 feet. And you just basically command the objects to like give it a simple order, and they'll continue to follow that order until they complete the task. You're not taking bonus actions every turn to issue it another command like you do with a number of other companion spell based stuff or even anything the ranger does. This is, again, once more, a spell that does stuff better than the ranger does. But blind sight with a radius of 30 feet means they can attack just fine, even when the enemies can't see them. And so I thought, what better way to just drop a little spell in, have your little first or second level wizard buddy or anybody drop a fog cloud in, which lasts for an hour. The anime objects only last for a minute, but that should be all you need to really mop up whatever you're doing and have your swarm of, if you have tiny creatures, let's see. Yeah, 10. You can have 10 tiny or small objects that are flying around here, drop a fog cloud in, and they can see just fine because they have blind sight. The enemies are at disadvantage because they can't see anything, and they're considered invisible to said enemies, which means that they have the advantage on the attack, and their enemies have disadvantage to attack them back. It's a nice little combo, and then you set up on the hill and drink some wine while the fight happens. You don't even have to be anywhere near it. Once you set it, and you can just leave. So it's similar to your wall of force and sickening radiance. You don't even really need to be there once it starts. But this, I thought, was a nice little field. It covers the field a little bit more. So 20 foot radius, and anywhere where that fog is, you know, the creatures are going to attack with advantage. The likelihood of them hitting is, you know, much higher, that type of thing. And the fact that they don't have a very high hit point, even though their armor class is decent, especially the small and tiny ones, they're probably going to survive a lot of them for all this. So I thought it was a fun little combo that did not take a whole lot of preparation or a whole lot of specialty casting. So I thought it was fun.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's pretty good, because then you could just surround, attack, and like you said, just hang out.
Take a short rest. Have your lunch. Yeah. Cool. So I know we had a few other of those that we were kind of toying around with, that maybe if we have shorter episodes down the road, we'll just kind of throw that in as a teaser at the end.
I like it.
Cool. Well, mobility, and you have a couple spellcaster wombo combos there as a bonus for you.
Yeah.
You got any parting thoughts?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
Cool. Hope you enjoy. If you like it, make sure you leave a review, smash that like button, whatever the kids say these days, and just interact with us however you can find us. We have YouTube channel, we've got Twitter, whatever you can do to find us. Look for Epic Blunders, look for Dueling GMs. I'm sure you'll track us down. But until next time,
have a good one.
Catch you later.